the title of this message is Establishing a Foundation. Establishing a Foundation. It is April 26th. Establishing a Foundation. I was thinking this morning, how much different should we be than the first church? Or should we be real similar to it? Or was that why I was given the voice of the heard what I heard, that I should only listen to the things that the first church heard? And I was told to listen just to the Word of God. This morning, Pablo made a profound statement, and I don't have it exactly the way he said it, but he said something to the fact that God gave us a revelation of His nature through words so that we all have access to it. And it was a profound statement, and I kind of lost the essence or the nature of it at the moment, but one word within the Scriptures has bothered me for years, and that word is truth. And I'm wondering how many other people have been bothered or are bothered by it. In John 17, Jesus referred to God's word as truth. He says that he prayed to God to sanctify us in the truth, in His truth. His word is truth. And Pilate asked Jesus in John 18, what is truth? That's one chapter later. Well, truth sanctifies. And according to the dictionary, the word sanctification means to make holy, make legitimate, to set apart as sacred, to make right or righteous, and to justify. Now, the Bible says that God is going to finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. And I have this feeling that God is going to raise up a people who preach pretty much what the first church preached. And I don't know if it's going to be, if he's going to update it, but it's going to be a sanctifying move, and people are going to become righteous and holy before God. And I'm wondering how far removed most people are today. See, the unity through diversity mindset sees truth as an option. It sees truth as an option, while God sees it as a necessity. The Holy Spirit was the only teacher that was ever given so as to lead and guide men into all truth. And I'm saying, is this important? I was not given that ability. And I'm saying that was important enough so that God never put this ability in any human's minds or hands. We used to sing a song called the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. And then the statement says, I stand alone on the Word of God. And I'm wondering how many people at this point would do that. How many people would do it? And I thought, I was put in a place one time where I did, and I'm not saying that I did it because I really understood it, but I was called to justify what I was doing in front of a bunch of people who were upset because I was not using the material that I was supplied with to be teaching a group of young people in a church. Well, anyway, it came out that I told them, I said, I'm doing is teaching the Word of God, and I can't teach the material that is supplied to me because it's not scriptural. And at the end of the thing, the young visiting pastor who stood in for Pastor Larson, the one that was over the church, it got real quiet when I got done speaking, and he said, I don't know what this young man has, but whatever he has, the rest of us need to get it. And that was his statement, and people were broken, and they hugged me, and it was really nice temporarily. But being the setting and the rest of the things going on, it couldn't last too awful long. In Colossians 1:15, Jesus was referred to as the firstborn of every creation. And in verse 18 of the same chapter, Colossians 1:18, he says he was the firstborn from the dead. I also wanted to note that it does not say anywhere that I could have ever found that says that Christ was created. He was the firstborn of the creation, but it does not say that he was created. No, I shouldn't say that. It does not say that he was created before Adam. I got to get that right. I missed a couple of words here that I had written down. It does not say he was created before Adam. He was not a creation before Adam. He was the firstborn of God's new creation. But anyways, establishing a foundation. God set up his church, and we are told that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, here's the setting. See, this was not a pronouncement of dignity, of deity. This was not saying that deity was going to do something in Matthew. Oh, wait a minute. Matthew 16:16. But it says, but it was a pronouncement of humanity. Let me read what it says. Upon this stone will I build my church, and I'm going to have to look it up. Matthew 16:16. Oh, in 15, well, and back in verse 13, in Matthew 16:13, Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea, Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And Jeff and I were talking about it today. We went out for lunch. And anyway, he answered his own question. He said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Well, some say that you're John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of those prophets." And he said, "But whom do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And that's what I was looking at here. It does not say that this was deity. That's not what he was saying. And then in verse 17, Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonas," meaning the son of Jonah, "for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." And then in verse 18, "And I say unto you, you are Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And you know what? I think we're coming to an understanding of this thing, and there's no way that that Peter was the foundation for the church, because that's not something that man has within his abilities. He says, and I'm saying it was upon this truth. Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And this is not deity, this is humanity. The word Christ means anointed man, anointed flesh. It always has, it always will. We look it up in the Bible dictionary, that's what it is. And so I'm saying it's upon this truth will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against what? What's it not going to prevail against? The truth that the Son of God is the man Christ Jesus, the chief cornerstone upon which the church will be built. I was thinking about this, and I thought if I were to answer that question, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? My answer at this point would be, you are the only begotten Son of God, the man Christ Jesus. And then in verse 20, Jesus told his disciples not to tell anyone that he was Jesus the Christ. In 1 Peter 2:5, the King James Version calls the real church lively stones. In 1 Peter 2:5, lively stones. While the other translations, not one of the translations say that, they call the same thing living stones, upon which the real church of Christ is to be built. The true church will never be built upon false, corrupted doctrines, and as such, many will lose their souls because they never turned only to the Word of God and listened to the Holy Spirit. Many will lose out and never, therefore, came to the knowledge of the truth. See, we either do things God's way or we pay the consequences. We don't have options in this walk. And from the creation of all things that we are familiar with, what we know, God's plan and purpose in Genesis 3:15 was to bring forth a son who would do what no other created son ever did, and he was from creation. God brought forth a son, an only begotten son, but the woman was a created being. And this son did something no one else had ever done, and he totally obeyed and did his father's will perfectly. As such, the birth of the Christ, the apple of God's eye, which was God's Isaac, was what came forth. And so, except and unlike Isaac, the man Christ Jesus, the only begotten son, paid the ultimate price. See, Isaac didn't. Isaac was put on the altar, but instead of Abraham having to kill him, there was a lamb caught, or there was a ram caught in the thicket, and they used that as to sacrifice rather than Isaac. And so, anyway, but the only begotten Son paid the ultimate price that God required, and therefore set men free from their sins, if and when men would accept and therefore receive him. See, God is now giving us a lot of understanding in and of the Scriptures. We're starting to get it. I'm happy with some of the things that we're getting, and I know that we're only just scratching the surface. However, God wants us to obey his holy word, even if we don't understand it. To obey is better than sacrifice. He wants us to believe this is his word and obey it, even if we don't understand it. And I don't mean in a legalistic, judgmental way. That's not what I'm talking about. Jesus said, "My mother and my brethren are these who hear the word of God and do it." That's obedience. And so, you know, to obey is better than sacrifice. And as such, we are to hide God's word deep within our hearts so that we do not sin against him. That's what the Bible tells us. And that's whether we understand the reasons or not. However, if we don't understand, it is easy to get caught up in a legalistic setting. See, God does not allow us to understand a lot of his mysteries if and when we are inwardly... Or wait a minute. God does allow us to understand a lot of his mysteries. God does allow us... I can add a word in here real easy, but I can't see that good. He allows us to understand a lot of his mysteries if and when we are inwardly open, so that he is able to reveal them to us. See, one of the secrets of Christianity is to have a willing attitude to receive truth. That's a secret. And so if people are open to receive truth, God will give it to them. And you know what? I think a lot of people were open to receive truth until they got to a certain point, and they figured out they had enough truth to go on, and they stopped. I think that has happened in a lot of cases. And so God calls us co-workers together with Him. Co-workers. And in 1 Corinthians 2:12, God tells us, we are told that that God wants us to know the things that are freely given to us by Him. He wants us to know the things that are given to us by Him. And when I looked up the word mystery in my concordance, it became obvious that God wants His people to understand major mysteries. I mean, there are many, many places where it says God wants us to understand the mysteries of this and the mysteries of that. However, only those with a real heart and to know the truth will be given revelations, like Daniel, into the deep things of God. Now, that's a strange thing. Here's Daniel, is a great prophet and one of God's greatest of all prophets ever. And it says that when the angel came and talked to Daniel, it says from the first hour. And I'm thinking, were there other hours that went by first? And I'm thinking that there were. Maybe he's like everybody else. You know, remember how it says about Elijah? It says that he was a man of like passions. Maybe Elijah didn't have the right serious heart in the beginning. You know, who knows? Or maybe Daniel didn't. Because it says from the first hour that you set your heart to understand, your prayers were heard. You know what? I think that matters. And God knows. And so anyway, it says in 1 Corinthians 2:10, God has revealed the deep things, His deep things to us, even by His Spirit. See, the human mind is a created mind. And Jeff, I was talking to Jeff today, and he was talking about a message he had heard that was back a couple of months ago, and about the fact that we should wake up every morning if we're going to set off on the right note, is to get up every morning and say, "I am a creation," because what it does, it sets the stage for getting rid of pride. If I'm a created being, then what right have I to pride myself on anything? And I do that, you know. Morning after I get up, I say, you know, I'm a creation, and Lord, I thank you, I'm a creation. I thank you that, you know, and so you're able to do with me whatever you want. And so, as such, the mind is only able to comprehend that which the one who created it allows. Are you with me? The mind is only able to comprehend that which the one that created it allows. And if God's creation can believe by faith, it will eliminate pride and lead us to repentance and resistance towards the Holy Spirit. See, that's one of the big problems, is resistance towards the Holy Spirit. What relationship does a creation have with a creator that the Creator does not first establish? I mean, God has made us. He's given us whatever makes up our minds. And so what do we have in us that can allow us to rise up and think that we are something? How can I think I'm something? You know, there's a possibility that I can end up doing that at some point. And I'm saying, Lord, please don't let it happen to me. And so, because God has created man in such an awesome way, it says that we're created in God's image, and I don't think we even have a little understanding of that, which has maybe caused the angels to shake their heads in wonderment. It says in 1 Peter 1:12, the angels, what is this thing? It says, things that the angels desire to look into, 1 Peter 1:12. What is this thing? What is this creation? What is this thing that dares to defy God? Why didn't he You know, shrivel them up like a piece of bacon. And so man turns to his God-given ability, and he uses it to his own destruction rather than use it to see the obvious revelations or the conclusions that there really is a creator. What a shame, see? The fool says in his heart to his of God. He uses his mind that God has given him to come up with conclusions that eliminate the one that made him, made the mind. And so wise and prudent fools say, I don't believe that there is a God. I ran into some. There was a man that we knew that years ago, he was a policeman, and he was convinced, and he said, I know there's no God. These churches are foolish. They're crazy. It's stupid to even believe in such a thing. And so he was a policeman, but he was suicidal on top of being a policeman. And he was down on Water Street in Eau Claire someplace, and he took his revolver and he aimed it at his head. And he says, God, if you don't reveal to me that you're real, I'm going to kill myself right now. And, this is his testimony. Remember that, Joe? Brian Wiseman. And so, anyway, well, he's passed on since now, anyway, but so he put the revolver up there, and the next thing he knew, he fell on his face and began to repent before God. And he ended up leaving the police force and going over to some country as a missionary. I heard his story. It was just shortly after it happened. And so God turns to the babes and the sucklings and to those who love God more than church. To those who love God more than church or family, and gives them revelations of truth that others will never get. See, God can give you truth. He can give you a revelation. He can hide revelation from you. He can make sure you don't find it. He can do whatever he wants, because that's who he is. If men would ever allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide them in and of the eternal word of truth, then the necessary foundational revelations, with a man Christ Jesus being the chief cornerstone of the church, would all be established within each of the followers of Christ. If we would let the Holy Spirit lead us, to as many as are led of the Holy Spirit, they are the sons of God. I'd say they are the true sons of God. But what happens? We get in an environment, and misery loves company, as the old saying goes, but we get into an environment, a church environment, and the next thing you know, we start putting a lot of emphasis or a lot of trust in the ones that are over the church, and they take advantage of it. They like the praise that they get, and so they lose it. The next thing you know, we got prideful, wise and prudent leaders, and God starts giving revelation to any of them. The Holy Spirit is only able to lead and guide those who follow. He can't lead them if they don't follow. And if men don't follow, then that is called resisting the Holy Spirit. See, remember what Stephen said? He said, just as your father did, you continue to resist the Holy Spirit. And so think, if and when anyone uses any substitute for the God-given Holy Spirit teacher, if we use any substitute, any man that tries to lead and guide men into truth, is that not resistance? If we start, you know, we started trusting leadership of Community Chapel. You know what we were doing? I mean, it was ignorance. And God has had mercy on our ignorance. But I realized one day that what we were doing, we were resisting the Holy Spirit. Are you following what I'm saying? Without ever even realizing that we were doing it. And so, see, God provided the Holy Spirit to give all men the truth. He will lead and guide into all truth. He provided the Holy Spirit to give all men truth. The truth that makes Christ's true disciples makes us into Christ's true disciples and thereby sets men free. But you know what? It doesn't say it sets in here. It says makes men free. And why does it make them free? Because they become free of the devil's deceptions. Truth makes you free of the devil's deceptions. Why is it important that we are led and guided into truth? Because it will reveal the devil's deceptions and make us free from them, so we don't fall from them. You know what? The church is so handicapped today that it's pathetic, because there's hardly any of the foundational doctrines in the church system today that's right. It's all wrong. And, I mean, I could get in a lot of trouble and they could get mad at me for it. I don't really care. But so people are under bondage to doctrines. The Trinitarians are under bondage to a Trinity doctrine that can't be found in the Scriptures. That's bondage. They're not free. Whenever people say, well, you can't prove it from the Scriptures, you know what? They're under bondage. If you can't prove it in the Scriptures, you got a problem. See, the words that God spoke to all men through Christ and the Old Testament prophets, that the words that God spoke to all men, that God spoke to all men through Christ, and that He spoke through the Old Testament prophets, are all words of truth. However, it requires the Holy Spirit to keep them in the setting of spiritual substance, of a spiritual substance and nature, and therefore truth. Truth, I think Pablo one day said that truth is of a spirit nature. And I'm thinking, of course it is. But how does he come up with that? And once the Holy Spirit is ignored or resisted, then the Antichrist spirit, which impersonates the Holy Spirit, will use the same words that are in the Scriptures and cause them to somehow make sense in letter form to the natural and the carnal minds. And this is a mystery. How can the same words that set you free, make you free, also put you in bondage? It's a mystery. And as such, today's church systems are basically without foundations. Because unless the chief cornerstone is of the same substance that God set it out to be and set up, then we have no foundation. If people see the chief cornerstone of the church as a deity figure, God the Son, or as God Himself, we have no chief cornerstone. Then we have a strange foundation. The chief cornerstone has to be made out of the... Okay, now, let me see if I can get this thought pattern straight here. It says that it has not yet appeared what we're going to be like, but when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. I just ran into another scripture a little bit ago that said something really similar to that, and I don't know where it is. But anyway, that as He is, we'll be. We're going to be as He is. And so whatever He is at this moment, He is the chief cornerstone. But He's still a man who has become the firstborn of God's creation, who has been given the new... Whatever He is right now is what we are going to become. And so if that's the case, and we are the lively stones, see, that's what it says. It says lively stones in King James, but it says living stones in all of the translations. If that's what we are, and we're part of this structure, this church system that God is building, that the gates of hell can't prevail against, then we need to be made into that same thing. So we are in the process of being changed from glory to glory to glory. That's what we're supposed to be. But if we're in false doctrine in a church that does not have the Scriptures as the truth, and they don't allow the Holy Spirit access to the Word so that every individual can work out his own salvation with fear and trembling, then we got a problem. And we have problems within the churches. See, the substance of the chief cornerstone is not of the same nature as that of the angels, because it says he didn't take upon him the nature of angels, but rather is of that of the seed of Abraham, which means that the man Christ Jesus, with a new body setting, is already that chief cornerstone. But he has to remain a man. If he's not a man, then we don't have a cornerstone. Nowhere within the scriptures are we told that that nature ever changed. And in fact, it appears that when Christ was glorified by God, he was made into whatever we will one day be made into at the last trump. The last trump shall sound, and we shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And we'll take on whatever form or whatever it is that Christ is like. And so we wonder, well, what will we be? And I'm saying, whatever he now is. And I started to understand that, because we have scriptures that tell us that. Whatever he now is what we will be. And he said, and to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne as I overcame. He overcame, and it sat down with the Father in his throne. And so as we finally see him as the firstborn of the new creation, as he already is. You know what? Once we start getting the picture together, now it starts to add up and make sense. How men were able, from the scriptures, to make Christ into deity is beyond comprehension. It wasn't in the first church. That's what I said. That shouldn't the churches down through the ages, shouldn't they be kind of resemble the first church? And how is it that the fundamentals, especially, you know, I mean, each one has their own little twist. But how can they say that, the book of Acts was just an introduction, and the book, 1 Corinthians 14, is really should never have been in the Bible. It's like, you know why they say that? Because it does not agree with what they believe. Instead of going to find out what God said, and, you know, and did God say that we shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon us, and we shall be witnesses? Does it matter, or can we just go out and do it our own way without the Holy Spirit? And you know what? That's what people are doing. And so, for God to bring forth an only begotten Son, or Godson, see, for him to bring forth an only begotten Godson, is contrary to all of the scriptures concerning Christ. He didn't bring forth a Godson, he brought forth a man-son. However, once the Antichrist was able to get that concept or that image planted within enough hearts, then he could help foolish men to twist enough scripture verses to sort of make them fit that image or concept. He was able to do it. And the Holy Spirit teaches by spiritual discernment, spiritual revelation, while the Antichrist, see, the Holy Spirit teaches by spiritual discernment, while the Antichrist uses logic, common sense, within the natural and carnal minds. See, the mind of the lower nature is a frightful thing. I was thinking about that the other day. The mind of the lower nature is frightful. As such, it gives itself a false understanding of its lower nature. And we have it all around us. Universities are full of lower nature intelligence. And it tells itself that it knows truth, among other things, even if others don't know it. See, we had a certain man that I knew that was I love to listen to him as a super intelligent individual. You know what? I realized one day that I was giving him credit for knowing stuff that nobody else in the whole world knew. I was convinced You know what? How many other people around the world have followers? I became a disciple of the person. How many people around the world are listening to somebody and they say, there's nobody else in the whole world that knows what this man knows? Like that teacher, well, I won't say it, get myself in trouble. And so, in fact, this is the way that most of today's false doctrines get started, or got started. Wise and prudent men who were sure they were super spiritual and intelligent got a thought pattern that made sense to them. I have done it myself. I have had screwy thought patterns and that made sense to me, and I have thought, this is from God. And I looked at it later on and thought, no way on God's green earth is this from God. Now I understand where they came from. I mean, the devil doesn't leave us alone. He doesn't leave anybody alone. The devil helped them to cause thought patterns that evolved into a doctrine. And after a few years, they became totally convinced that what they believed was from God. However, and here's where the devil gets really involved. As a doctrine is found to be contrary to most of the scriptures, the devil works on the human mind so as to twist God's word and make their doctrines somehow fit into the word. And this, see, remember what it says, that these are those who take the writings of Paul and twist them to their own destruction. I was just thinking, what are the basic truths that make up the foundation of the church? What are the basic truths? Well, number one, for sure, is Hebrews 11:6. No man is able to come to God unless and until he actually believes that God is. No man can come to God. But first it says, without faith it is impossible to please God. So faith is a number one thing that has to exist in anybody and everybody. Without faith it is impossible to please God. But nobody can come to God unless that person believes that God is. And I thought, how do you believe that God is? I've come to the conclusion that the only way that we can be sure, or that we can be convinced, is if we hear God ourselves. I was told that if you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am. But I was made to understand that what I had to do was I had to listen and listen and listen and listen to Him. God spoke to the prophets, to the fathers through the prophets. He spoke to us through His Son. And so I began to listen just to the Gospels over and over and over and over. And then I began to realize something. God is becoming a reality. My mind is beginning to fathom, you know, my heart, my soul is beginning to fathom a God who is spirit. And now, you know, then we slowly came to the revelation that the Son of God is a man. It's necessary that He's a man. And so we have to come to the place, and only the scriptures are the only way it happens, until we really believe that God is. There's a lot of churchgoers that are hoping God is. But we have to come to the place where we know that God is. And the only way that happens is the Holy Spirit getting involved in the Word and convincing us. And when people do get convinced, it changes everything about who and what they become. I am becoming something different. I'm different than I've ever been at any point ever. And then, see, which then causes that which both John and Jesus first preached to take place, which is repentance. When I see people that are starting to face repentance and beginning to repent of the, you know, of dead doctrines or dead works, as it says, then I realize that the Holy Spirit is at work. And see, we have to repent But it takes the work of God to bring us to that place. See, God is not willing that any should be lost, but that all men should be brought to repentance. And because an eternal kingdom is at hand, see, there's a kingdom. So they said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And so we got to see that as something that is real. And so we have to see ourselves as a righteous God sees us, which causes repentance. If I can see myself as God sees me, is what I find out through the Word, then it will bring me to repentance. And then the next thing is baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And why? Why do we look at and why not baptism in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? Why is it baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? And why baptism by immersion? Well, the reason is we are baptized into His death, into His burial, and when we come up out of the water, the resurrection of the one that we associate with. And then, fundamental truth, number one God who is Spirit. And I would like to borrow from James 2:19, the devils believe and tremble. We don't understand that because we can't see into spirit realms. And then I'd like to say the next truth that we need is that there's one mediator, the man Christ Jesus, the God's only begotten Son, born of a virgin, of a woman who some claim was the mother of God, which is blasphemy. And so Christ Himself calls Himself the Son of Man. And the reason is because He was given the seed of man rather than the nature of angels, which is spirit. See, the only begotten Son phrase eliminates the God the Son terminology. Unless, of course, Mary was God, which if she's called the Mother of God, then they must think that somehow she's God. And then, of course, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which most fundamentals try to make a thing of the past as a happening of the first church only. See, it only happened to the first church. And so then I heard a minister on the radio when I first got filled with the Spirit, and I kept listening to him, and he said that anybody that speaks in tongues today is of the devil. And because it doesn't happen today. And the reason he said it is because he didn't. And so I thought, well, okay, so it's not happening today. Well, then what about the Topeka, Kansas revival or the Azusa Street revival, or what about the Wales, Scotland revival, or what about the Pensacola, Florida revival, and what about stuff that's happened to this church? What about what happened to me? I mean, I can't buy any of that. Now, all of these things took place unexpectedly and were not started by men. When deliverance came to this church, you know, it was contrary to my thinking. I didn't even think that way. But it happened. How did it happen? What caused it? Where did it come from? What about really believing that there is a devil? What very, very few actually do, and thereby pay the consequences. See, no wonder God in His great mercy has directed many today in a word-only relationship. We look at ourselves and we say, well, God is really doing something in our midst. But you know what? After I've talked to a number of people that are, you know, in other places that are kind of in the know and understand, I realize that what is happening to us is happening to a lot of people. God is not getting this little church to be in the spotlight. I want Him to add us to the bag, you know what I mean? Include us in what He's doing. Many people are in a word-only relationship. And you know what? From many denominations, many church systems. And we've run into a few. But I tell you what, the fact that we've run into a dozen or so, what tells me that there's probably hundreds, maybe thousands, maybe 70,000s, who knows, that God has dealt with that have left their church affiliations, their church doctrines, and have turned to the Word of God and are finding God. I'm guessing there's a lot of them. And so anyway, the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues in Acts 2:39 is a promise by God to all future generations. It's a promise in Acts 2:39. It is a promise to all generations, to as many as the Lord our God shall call, it says. However, it is also one of the devil's greatest enemies, since it provides men with supernatural power from on high, so as to witness to men and to resist the devil himself. And so whenever men receive the supernatural power of God's Holy Spirit, it automatically puts them up so that they, in Genesis 3:15, they are able to bruise the head of the devil, which means they're given authority to crush his power. Jesus said, I have overcome the world, therefore. See, he overcame the world. Well, what did he overcome in the world? He overcame the devil. The devil is the king and the prince of this world. Somehow, even most of those today who profess they have the Holy Spirit are under the deceptions of the devil and believe inherited. Now listen to me. Many of those, or most of those who say they have received the Holy Spirit today, are still under the deceptions of the devil and believe inherited traditional doctrines of the past rather than allowing the Holy Spirit that they profess to have to lead and guide them into the eternal Word of God and into truth. That was a mouthful, but they say they have the Holy Spirit. And they believe traditional doctrines that are not scriptural. And I'm saying, at some point they have refused, have resisted the Spirit, which was given to lead and guide them out of those traditional doctrines and into the Word of Truth. See, the Word of God is always up to date. And thereby, being led into the all-truth arena, see, we are to be led into the all-truth arena, which is only the Holy Spirit of God is able to do. I can't do it, and you can't do it. Unless I come across as a conceited fool who thinks he knows all things, I want to inform us and remind us that the Holy Spirit does know all things. We could be ignoramuses, but the Holy Spirit does know all things. And he uses the eternal Word of God to teach us from. And so those who do allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide them have a great advantage. And I was talking to, I don't know who, we're talking to somebody today. Oh, maybe Charlotte. And so you will never be able to convince natural and carnal-minded people of any of these things that I'm saying, or that you might say. You just have to know these things within your heart and hang on to it. See, there's things you have to just know it, and there's not anything you can do and wait for God to turn the switch on. And so if you are able to believe that the Bible really is the Word of God spoken to us through Christ, then you do very well. See, borrowing from James 2:19. If you can believe that this word really is God's word, you do very well. And I'd like to say the devil also believes this and trembles. That's why he sets out to change it if he can. God's will is for all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what it says. How many times have I said that? Well, the devil, man's adversary, is hell-bent on deceiving as many with lies as he can, so they will end up in hell. Now, I don't understand why he is so bent on people going to hell, but see, salvation and the knowledge of the truth go hand in hand. It says in 2 Thessalonians 2:10, because they received not a love for the truth, see, or knowledge of the truth, that they might be saved. In other words, they'll go to hell. And so when men say, I don't think it really matters what men think, as long as, and you know what? I have heard this from so many different quarters. I don't think it really matters what men think, as long as You know, we worship together, we do these things together. I thought, we need to find out what God says, what God thinks. Jesus told the Samaritan woman, he says, she said, well, we worship God in this mountain. And he made a statement, and he says, you know, you don't even know what you worship. And if we see God as a three-part deity, and if we see Jesus as his own Father, if we see these things and we're worshiping God, are we worshiping in truth? You know what I mean? We're not even in the right arena. Jesus said, my brethren are those who hear God's eternal thoughts and do them. And in John 15:14, Jesus said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And I thought that's kind of narrow-minded. And then, what about if we do our own doctrines and still want to be his friend? And the thing is, are we? If we still do it our way, are we still his friend? He kind of made it kind of, you know, one way here. And just because we think in a certain way, it's different, does it make it okay with God? And think, what if we become partakers of God's divine nature? If we become partakers of God's divine nature in and of God's holy word, how exactly does that take place? Well, you know, that was a profound statement that Pablo made this morning. And I don't have it exactly in my head and my mind and system exactly as I did this morning. But this morning it grabbed me. It was a profound statement. And because God has somehow given us his word in just such a way that the Holy Spirit can take that word and can change us through it into the divine nature of God. That is a marvelous, unbelievable thing. And I was thinking that one morning about the word truth. See, from God's standpoint, it is crucial. And yet, most churchgoers are not that concerned about the word or about its impact. See, we can be sure that we have some demonic interference when truth is kind of snuffed at, is kind of set aside, is kind of ignored, and when it's like, well, unity through diversity, that opposes the truth factor. It's in opposition. So when people are promoting that, we can be sure that we have demonic interference. As such, God is a stickler for truth, while the devil works to make truth an option for godliness and holiness and righteousness. And as such, I know a lot of churchgoers who think that worship and praise and singing, whatever, are more important to God than the things that we think. And I'm saying I don't think so. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The way we think is what makes who we are. We can sing and shout and do all, you know. However, when truth from God begins to register within men's minds, then working out our salvation with fear and trembling begins to become a way of life. And Jesus told the Samaritan woman, you don't even know what you worship. And I'm beginning to think that that has been and still is a major area of deception for millions of churchgoers. People don't even know what they worship. As you know, I used to, years ago, I mean, it's been many, many moons, but I used to try to spend equal time worshiping the Father and equal time, you know, and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I would try to divide up, you know, I'd pray for 10 minutes for one, pray for 10 minutes the other, 10 minutes the other. And it's like, was that in the right spirit? Well, God had mercy on me. But at the same time, there was no scriptural support for what I was doing. And so, with the Godhead deceptions that have plagued the churches for centuries, just how much spirit and truth has been a part of the church system over the years. The Bible says, they that worship the Father must worship Him in spirit and in truth, for such the Father seeks to worship Him. That's what God looks for. But anyway, God bless you and love you.